The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. So many of you may know that I study here at UC Berkeley, at Cal, and I study in the business school. And one thing I can say is that someone who has a background in more of the humanities and in theology, the thing that I'm allergic to the most in business school is math. So math is something I try to get out of as often as possible, and luckily there are study groups that I'm able to kind of pawn that stuff off onto many times. But one thing I am, of course, drawn to at the business school are all the classes that deal with other aspects of making good business decisions, usually ones that are dealing with leadership. And right now there's a class that I'm currently enrolled in called Building Trust-Based Relationships. Building Trust-Based Relationships. And what this course deals with is how to be more empathetic to another person's point of view. You know, that's the best way to build trust with relationships, when you respect another person's point of view, right? And of course, in the business world, that's something that's very difficult because everyone feels usually that they have the best point of view. So to think that another person has a better point of view is a very stretch of the imagination. But I was really taken by this one particular article that we had to read on how to prevent conversational narcissism. How to prevent conversational narcissism. And basically what this article was saying, that when we engage in a conversation with someone, and when someone approaches us and tells them about something that's going on in their life, we very quickly try to shift the attention to us and maybe give an experience that may be similar to what the person's already talking about. In a sense, we direct the attention to us rather than just focusing on the other person speaking. So some examples that this article would give is that if Mary comes up to you and says, "I'm busy right now," a conversational narcissist will say, "Me too. I'm really overwhelmed." Meaning I'm bringing the attention to myself. Like, you're busy? Guess what? I'm busy. Right? The suggested way to approach this would be when Mary says, "I'm so busy right now," you would say, "Why? What have you got to have to get done? What has to be done?" Kind of focusing more on the other person. Another example is if someone says, "I need new shoes." A conversational narcissist will say, "Me too. These things are falling apart." Once again, thinking about how your own predicament may be somehow even worse than the predicament of the person in front of you. The suggested response is, "I need new shoes." "Oh yeah? What kind are you thinking about?" Now, granted, all this can be looked upon as just kind of a way to try to almost trap ourselves into paying more attention to another person when we're really thinking more about ourselves and we really want to just let go what we want to say. But I could not help but think about a little bit of a conversational narcissism coming through Simon Peter today in the gospel. Think about what is happening here in this scenario. The gospel today begins with the fishermen, so Peter, James, and John, coming in from working all day. It explicitly says here they were washing their nets. That means the day is over. And what does Jesus say? "All right, let's go back to work. I want you to take me out. I'm going to preach from the boat, and then I want you to go fishing again." Right? Now, when Jesus makes this proposal, it's actually not really even so much a proposal, it's an order. Simon Peter responds by saying, "Master, we've worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." Now, this can be translated in lots of different ways. And the way I like to think this is translated in my mind, because it makes sense from what happens later on in the dialogue between Peter and Jesus, is that Peter is essentially saying, "Guess what? I'm the expert here at fishing. You're not, Jesus. And we've been out, and we've been doing this whole thing all day, and we haven't caught anything. So to prove you wrong, Jesus, I'll lower the nets to show you that there's nothing out here." I almost sense that there might have been a patronizing tone in Peter's voice. "But Master, at your command, we'll do this." I only conclude that because of how Peter is just completely overwhelmed when he's proven wrong with the amount of fish that are caught, where he throws himself at the Master, Jesus, and say, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Peter knew darn well what he was doing with Jesus. He wanted to show Jesus that he wasn't the expert in fishing. He was trying to affirm his identity as a master fisherman. And as it is with Peter, so it is with us. All of us identify with something going on in our lives where we feel that we are an expert in that area. All of us have something that we've either studied, someplace that we've worked at for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, some experiences of vocation, whether it's marriage or priesthood, that makes us think that we got this down pat. We know what it means to be the best in this particular industry. We understand how this industry works. We know what it means to be married. We understand how marriage works. We know what it means to be Catholic. We understand what that's all about. And we can identify ourselves with those things so strongly that if anyone from the outside were to challenge us, every single one of our defense mechanisms show up to try to prove that person that they don't have it all together. They don't understand. We're the expert. Now, I think it's very important for us to reflect upon this, because this is really something that all of us struggle with. I feel that sometimes the only reason why I can preach about this and get this from this gospel and also see the connection in this very trite article about conversational narcissism is that I know darn well that I often think of myself as an expert in certain things. In other words, sometimes I walk into a place and I feel that I'm the smartest person in the room. And guess what? Jesus wants to reveal to us that he doesn't want our expertise in anything to be enough. Maybe it is true that we studied a lot in a particular area. Maybe it's true that we've been married for a long time. Maybe it's true that we've been working in an industry for a very, very long time. Maybe it's true that in the eyes of the world, we are considered experts in our fields. But Jesus wants to show to us that it doesn't stop with our own expertise. He wants to reveal to us that our life is meant for abundance, miraculous abundance, that's not just contained by the parameters of what we are personally able to accumulate or accomplish. Because what we're able to personally accumulate or accomplish is really very little. And Jesus wants to give us everything. Everything. He actually wants to give us more than just this tangible amount of fish that were caught on this particular day, which of course blew all expectations, right? Literally out of the water. Jesus wants there to be miracles daily happening in our lives, revealing how much we are loved, revealing how much we're cared for, and revealing to us, most importantly, that it's not about us and what we can do, but who we are in light of God. Who we are in light of our relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son. The expert Catholics that we are in this church right now will recognize that a tremendous miracle will happen in a few moments on this altar. Because as Catholics, we believe that something ordinary, bread and wine, are transformed not into just something extraordinary, but are transformed into everything. Transformed into what the world cannot contain. Transformed into the very presence of God, the person of Jesus Christ. The expert Catholics that we are proud of that and bring us to church to reverence that and to experience that. But our expertise in knowing this great miracle that happens in this church, on this altar, sometimes, I would argue, gets limited because we don't think the exact same intensity of a miracle happens outside of this church. That we contain the miracle to this moment. And what do I mean by that? Because the body of Christ that we receive at this Mass only makes sense when we're able to encounter and reverence the body of Christ in our brothers and sisters once we leave this church. If we're not willing to receive the body of Christ through the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters, then we've limited the miracle of the Eucharist. Because the miracle of the Eucharist will reveal to us that we can go and encounter the people in this world who we find so problematic, so sinful, so anti-Christian, so degrading to human nature, to human dignity. And we can make the assertion that those people are incapable of even revealing to us the abundance of joy and life that God wishes to reveal to us, even through their sinfulness. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Because that means that we have to somehow let go of thinking that we're the ones who have it together and those people don't. Yet, if it's true that God is the author of all human life, then every single person who is breathing is only allowed to breathe because it's the same God who loves you and me who loves them as well. And where does that lead us? But it leads us to go to the Master when we think that we're better than other people and say to Jesus, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. Because I think I know where you are, and I think I know how you're supposed to act, and I think I know who's good and who's bad, but yet it's the abundance of life that you wish to reveal to me in the most unexpected places that I need to go and receive. I need to go back out to the lake after I finish the day and be willing to expect the unexpected." We know our world is very problematic. We know there are great forces of evil in the world. And we know there are times where we want to take sides. And rightfully so, there are clearly problematic things that require us to clearly make sides. Yet, every time we do that, there has to be just a moment for us to acknowledge the fact that the person on the other side, the person who is our enemy, so to speak, is the very person that Jesus asks us to love. Because it's in that person who makes up mysteriously the body of Christ that we're able to receive a miracle through. Let's pray for each other today that we don't limit the miracles of Jesus in our life. Let's pray that we can avoid conversational narcissism, not just as a better business practice, but because the person in front of us mysteriously can reveal to us something miraculous. Let's not contain Jesus to this moment in this church, but know that he comes in great abundance the minute we leave. May God bless you.